And today is found in the second book of Kings, in the 5th chapter, in the 6th chapter, and the 7th chapter. We left off speaking to you about Naaman, how that he was to make a journey into the land of Israel, and how that he had received from this young maid the assurance that this prophet would cure him of his leprosy. The king gave him a letter, and he took with him silver and gold and raiment as gifts to give unto the prophet who was to cure him. We find that he came into the land of Israel, and he presented the letter to the king. The king read the letter, and it stated that, "I have therewith sent unto you a man by the name of Naaman, that thou might cure him of his leprosy." It does not seem as if the king of Syria wrote to him that there was a prophet in the land of Israel and that this prophet was able to cure him, but it was directed to this man, the king. And the king, when he read this letter, he immediately flew in a rage. He ripped his clothes and he says, "What does this king think I am? Am I God, that I can kill and make alive, that he sends a man to me that I should cure him of his leprosy? See, he's just seeking to make trouble and a quarrel with me." This man, the king, had he known this prophet like this maid did, he would have immediately had sent Naaman to him, but he had no thought whatsoever about the prophet, and therefore he flew in a rage. But now the prophet Elisha, he heard that the king had received this message and that he had torn his clothes. And he sent word to the king and said, "Why hast thou torn thy clothes? Send this man to me, and they shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Now Elisha did not send this message for the purpose of being lifted up in pride and to be thought a whole lot of. Oh no. He sent this message with that purpose that they would know that although he was obscure and not many people thought much of him, still God had sent a prophet amongst them. And God was using this prophet for the benefit of the nation. And he likewise would use him for the benefit of this heathen, this Syrian, Naaman. And we find that Naaman came with all his host and stood at the door of Elisha. And when he stood at the door of Elisha, Elisha sent a messenger to him. Elisha didn't come out to see what this man looked like, who he was, but he sent a messenger to him. And he said to him, "Go to the river Jordan and wash thyself 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again, and thou shalt be clean." This here man, Naaman, he was an honorable man. He was much thought of in the land of Syria. Everybody looked up to him because he had been so good as to deliver the Syrians out of the hands of the Israelites. He was then respected and honored, and in all probabilities, he had been lifted up in pride. He probably was a proud man. And now when Elisha just sent a messenger out to him, how humiliating this was to him. Why, he thought that the prophet would come out and that he would strike his hand over the spot where the leprosy was, and that he would pray unto his God, and that he would be cured in this way. He was looking for a ritual. He was looking that this prophet would come out and honor him in this respect, and that likewise the prophet would be honored. But the prophet sent a messenger out. This, what he said unto this man, Naaman, was mortifying unto him. He went into a rage just like the king of Israel did. What? He became disgusted. to make such a journey, to make such an expense, to come all the way to this country, and then to have a messenger come and say, go into the River Jordan and wash yourself 7 times. Well, he couldn't see that. He began to say, are not the rivers in my own country, in Damascus, are not Abana and Pophir much more nicer and cleaner rivers than this River Jordan? And he turned away in a rage. This man, Naaman, he went away from the house of Elisha. And now we find that the servants that went with him, the men that accompanied him on this journey, they loved this man, Naaman, and they could not see that he would go away in a rage. It's a wonderful thing if you read it. You know, you think that these men would side with the man, Naaman, and they would say, well, let's go back into our country. What's the use? No, they took the side of the prophet, and they began to speak unto him and said, now, Father, if the prophet had come out and had bid you do some wonderful thing, would you not have done it? If he had asked for all your gold and all your silver, yea, and if he had asked you to torture yourself even, and you would be cured, would you not have done it? And now when he just bids you to go down into the river and wash yourself 7 times, why not try it? Why not do it? They pleaded with him, and he listened to them. And this man, Naaman, he went down into the River Jordan. You know, God had used this river many times. This was a wonderful river used to the glory of God many times for the Israelites. And when he spoke so despising of this river and thought so much of the rivers in his own country, he was despising that God in heaven above. But now he went down into this river in obedience to the command of the prophet. This taught him that all are on the same level, and that whether he was a captain and a general in this army, that meant nothing. To obey is better than sacrifice, for the sin of being stubborn is as witchcraft, the Bible tells us. And therefore he entered into the river, and when he went down into the river 7 times, he came up, and his flesh came back unto him like unto a little child. Oh, my hearers, it was not the river that made this man well. It was the God in heaven above who gave unto this man, Naaman, this cure of this dreadful disease, leprosy. That the prophet did not come out and speak unto him personally was probably because he was in prayer to God that God would cure this man of this dreadful disease. And now when he was cured and he seen he was whole, he came back to the house of Elisha the prophet, and he spake unto the prophet. For then the prophet came out to meet him, and he said, now I know that there is no God but only in the land of Israel. And he wanted Elisha to accept a present from his hand, but Elisha refused to take anything. If he had been in his own land and one of those that practiced witchcraft and was a sorcerer had cured him, you may be sure that they would have accepted everything that he would have gave them. But this prophet, he refused what this man Naaman offered to him, which was a wonder to him, which firmly convinced him more and more that it was not of the prophet that he was cured, but that God in heaven had cured him. Although he had been the means and the instrument to direct him, still God received the honor and God received the glory. And now this man said, well, let me take 2 loads of earth, burdens of earth, back to my own country and let me erect an altar on this earth, and there I will worship this God who has so cured me of my leprosy." And he asked the prophet to pray to God that God would forgive him when he went back into his own country, and his king, who leaned upon his hand, would go into the house of this idol and worship this idol, that God would forgive him, for he meant not to worship no idols anymore. He was firmly convinced that there was only one God, and that God he was going to worship. And the prophet said, "Go in peace." And he left Elisha and went back towards his own country. And my hearers, in this man, Naaman, we have a type of the way that God leads his people. In and through sin, every one of us are born in this world with that dreadful disease, sin. This is an incurable disease. Every one of us have this disease, my hearers. And now it is the Spirit of God only that can awaken us and give us to see and to feel what sin is. Otherwise, we delight in sin. We love sin. We wallow in sin, and we will go on in sin, and we will drown ourselves in sin and perdition. But now when the Spirit of God awakens a person, that person becomes alive to that dreadful disease that he has within him. Just like Naaman had leprosy, so does everyone that's convicted by the spirit of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment find himself to be in this case. And now what did Naaman do? In and through the means of this maid, Naaman, he took with him what? Gold, silver, raiment. He took with him costly things to pay for the cure that he expected to get when he got into the land of Israel. So likewise, my hearers, if God begins to discover to you your sins and your iniquities, you will immediately try to bring something to God. You will try to bring your tears, your prayers, your good works, your deeds. You will want to pay for the cure of that terrible disease that you feel you are afflicted with. This is what Naaman thought he could do. And now when Naaman came, and the prophet didn't even come out to him, but just commanded him to go to the river Jordan and wash, it was very humiliating to him. It was disgusting to him. So it is with a sinner who comes under the means of grace, who feels that he is guilty, that he's wretched, that he's lost, that he's undone. As such a sinner, when he hears that it is only to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, what does he do? He turns away. He turns towards the law. He takes hold of that. He wants to obey that. He wants to satisfy God and make it good with God in and through his own works. Oh, the law says, "Pay me what thou owest." And he says, "Keep quiet for a while. I'll pay you." And he starts to work. He starts to try to do things that would be pleasing unto God. And my hearers, he comes under the means of grace, and God sends messengers, messengers that blow the gospel trumpet, and he has no ear for it. He's busy working in the law. He's busy in the workhouse of Moses. And now it pleases God, just like it pleased him to use these servants of Naaman, and they overpowered him. And he consented. He obeyed. And he went down into the river Jordan, and he was made whole. But there may be some of my hearers that are passing through the first stages of what I've been speaking about. There may be some
that feel their sins. They say, I'm nothing else but a corrupt mass of iniquity. Oh, I'm just a stench in God's nostrils. And I've been trying to get over the top of this sin, this disease, and I can't seem to overcome it. Thanks be to God you can. Are you getting worse? Do you feel that your wounds stink? Do you feel that you're nothing else but a mass of corruption in the sight of God? Oh, you're very near to cure, my ever, very near to it. For the worse that you get, and the more that you feel that it's an undone condition with your immortal soul, the nearer you are to receiving by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This man went down into the River Jordan, and he was washed 7 times, and he was made clean. This typifies to us the ordinance of baptism, my hearers. It is not the water, no, but the water typifies the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as that water which washes an infant and makes an infant clean in the sight of us, so the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. All this man, when he was cured, he came back and he said, now I know that there is no other God but the God that is in the land of Israel. And so it is when God cures a sinner, gives him pardon, gives him peace, gives him reconciliation. That sinner wishes to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, I wish that there were many such sinners amongst you, my hearers, that you may experience what I am trying to teach you in my feeble way. And we find that this man, he went back into the land of Syria. And this servant, Elisha the prophet, he had a servant by the name of Gehazi. And this Gehazi, when he seen that his master did not accept the present that he had been offered for the cure, he was stricken with the sin of covetousness. What, he says, riches so near, and then to just let it go away and let it slip away. Boy, he says, as the Lord liveth, he says, I will go after him. Sin working in that man desired the presence that Naaman had offered unto Elisha. He coveted that. He had no right to it. He had done nothing for Naaman. It was not his. It was Elisha's by right. But Elisha refused to accept it. And because he refused to accept it, this man Gehazi, he sinfully wanted those things that were rightfully Elisha's. And we find that he went after this man, Naaman. He ran after him. And when he caught up with him, he falls into another sin. What's that? Why, he lies. He tells Naaman, just now, 2 servants of the prophets came down to my servant Elisha, and he desires that thou would give him 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of raiment. No such thing had taken place. This was a story that he made up, wherewith he coveted these riches that he thought he could receive. And now this man, Naaman, he was very liberal. It surprises me that he didn't question this man, Gehazi, first. Are you telling the truth? Because by speaking in this way, he spake to make Elisha a man that didn't stick to his word, as if he was an inconsistent man. And when he struck at his master Elisha, he struck at God in heaven above at the same time. He was trying to make Elisha as if he changed his mind, he changed his word, he changed his purpose, but he hadn't. And now this man, Naaman, he was so liberal, he says, take 2 talents, and he gave him 2 changes of raiment, and he put them on the shoulders of the servants that were with him, and he said, take it back with him to where he came from. Another wonder is that this man Gehazi didn't stop to think, maybe Elisha knows what's going on. Because Elisha was a prophet, and Elisha had discerned some things before already, which were so surprising to other people, that how could he know those things? But you see how strong sin is, my hearers. Oh, when sin gets the uppermost over us. I don't know if you know what sin is, but I do. Oh, when it's so strong you have no power against it. Oh, you're just led like a slave to do what comes up in you, and you give way. This man Gehazi, he likewise sinned so greatly against Elisha and against God and against his own soul. And now we find him going back with these servants carrying this silver and this raiment. He hadn't figured on that either. He had figured probably he would give it to him and he could go back. But when he came to a place called the Tower, he went and he took the silver and the raiment and he put it in this tower. It appears that Gehazi, he had charge of this supply house out of which they supplied all the prophets that lived in that particular area. And therefore he was like Judas, he had the bag, he controlled the money. And when they came to this place, he made them deposit it in this tower, and he sent the servants back, and he came before his master, Elisha. And Elisha looked at him and said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Thy servant didn't go anywhere, as he says. I didn't go out of the house. I went not whither, he says. Did not my mind go with thee, he says, when the man turned around. He says, is it a time, he says, to accept silver and garments? And is it a time, he says, for olive yards and for houses and for maids and for servants? Oh, this man Elisha, he was reading the mind of this Gehazi. Oh, Gehazi, he had all kinds of thoughts. What are you going to do with that money? Oh, he thought, I'll quit this work with Elisha. I'll build myself a nice home. I'll have a nice place, a farm, and I'll have oxen, and I'll have cattle, and I'll live like a king. I'll have maid servants and men servants. All these dreams were up in the mind of Gehazi with what he had taken from Naaman. But now Elisha discovers unto him that he knew all what he had done and all what was going on in his mind. And he said unto this man Gehazi, because thou hast done this, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out of the presence of Elisha, a leper, white as snow. God in his justice punished this man for his sins and for his iniquities immediately. Because God don't punish us, my hearers. We go on in sin. Because the day is put far off that he's going to visit us for our sins, sinners are bold to go on in sin. Oh, may God keep you, my hearers, from doing what Gehazi did. Oh, how awful. We all have it in our hearts. We are all sinners to a man, every one of us. And if not kept by God, we make all kinds of dreams and all kinds of things in our minds, which we are going to do if we get this and we get that. And sometimes we do it unlawfully. You know, when there's a shipwreck, many times pirates of the sea, they go upon this wreck and they take everything they possibly can from it. Sometimes when a city is visited with fire, sometimes a whole stretch of houses and apartments are cut down by fire. People flock to them places to see if they can't retrieve and steal things that have been left there by others. It is not a time, my hearers, to become rich when there's a shipwreck, when there's a fire, or when there's war. It is not a time to become rich, but when we do it unlawfully, then we do it against our neighbor and against the law of God. This man Gehazi was smitten with this terrible disease by God himself. And now we find in the next chapter that these prophet's sons, they are all flocking to Elisha. Elisha was gifted with the Spirit of God. And it seems that he instructed these other prophets, and they came flocking to him out of the country of Israel. And the place where they dwelt became too small for them. So they said unto Elisha, "Come, and let us go down to the river Jordan, and let us build us a house there, which will be bigger and larger, where we all can dwell." So he consented, and they said, "Come with us," and he went with them. And as they were felling trees, we find that one man, he fell a piece of timber, and as he smote this timber, the axe head fell into the water. And he said to Elisha, "Alas," because he says it was borrowed. Elisha says, "Where did it fall?" He pointed out in the water the spot where it had went down. Elisha took a stick, threw the stick in the water, and the iron came up and swam. And he told him to retrieve it, and he retrieved this piece of the axe head. Now, this was a wonderful miracle. Against the nature of iron, it swam. Elisha performed many miracles, my hearers. And as iron normally sinks down to the bottom, so we likewise, we have sunk down into sin and iniquity. And there must be a miracle done in our souls, shall we be lifted up, and shall we be given to believe that there is hope, that there is forgiveness for our sins, in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we find that the king of Syria, he made war against the Israelites. And when he went and formed the camp of soldiers to get set to make an invasion, Elisha knew it. Elisha had connection with God. And the prophets of old, they were given to tell not only things present, but things that were to come. And when these Syrians formed the camp, Elisha told the king of Israel about it and says, "Go, for there and there they're forming a camp." And we find that the king of Israel made use of what Elisha said, and he delivered himself not once, not twice, but several times. Each time the Syrians formed the camp, there the Israelites came and they scattered them and they couldn't get together. They couldn't make an invasion upon the Israelites. And now this king of Syria, he couldn't understand how that they knew that they were in this certain place. And he said, "There must be somebody that's a traitor. Somebody must be telling just what's going on in the Syrian army." So he called his generals together and he held a conference with them and asked them which one of them was the traitor. One of them, who probably had been with Naaman, who probably had seen something of the wonders that Elisha had done and heard thereof, he said to the king, "Listen, king, there ain't one of us that's a traitor." He says, "Elisha, the prophet, in the land of Israel, he tells the words that you speak in your bedchamber." How wonderful, this prophet of the Lord was gifted from above and given to know just what was taking place with the Syrian army. And now this king, he says, where is he? Search and find out where this prophet is. So they searched and they found that he was dwelling in a place called Dothan. If you remember from scripture, it was in this place that Joseph was sold by his brethren unto the Ishmaelites, who carried him into the land of Egypt. This was 12 miles north from the city of Samaria. And now we find the king, he sent a great host, a great army around this city of Dothan. He wanted to take Elisha prisoner. He formed this host of at night, thinking that he would catch him in the morning. And we find in the morning, when the servant of Elisha arose, he's seen this army encircled all around the city. And this servant of Elisha, he became filled with fear. He says, this means nothing else but my life and the life of Elisha. Oh, he trembled, this young man, because he's seen this great host gathered around the city. And he went to Elisha and spake to him, and he told him, and he says, how shall we do? Well, Elisha says, fear not, he says. There are more that are for us than that are with them. For this young man, he couldn't understand that. How is it possible that there were more for us than there was round about the city? In Elisha, when he seen this host, there dwelt in his heart, even though a host encamp against me, I will not fear. Elisha had faith. He seen above the host. He seen that the God of hosts was on his side. And why should he fear if God be with him? But this young man did not see this. And then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open the eyes of this young man. And the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw a host of angels around about Elisha, God's host. And he saw that no one could do anything to Elisha except God permitted it. Oh, this young man, he was given to see something of the glory and of the majesty and of the protection that God has for his saints. Elisha prayed, Lord, open the eyes of this young man. Oh, I pray to my hearers, in all humility, that God would open the eyes of every young person that's listening to me right now. Oh, if God opens your eyes, then you will begin to see as you never saw before. We never see things right, my hearers, until God opens our eyes. Oh, when God opens our eyes and gives us to see what we have become, what we are, what we are doing, and where we are traveling to, and what the end of our life will be, we never see those things except God opens our eyes. And then, my hearers, we see that sin is a reality. We see that there is an eternity awaiting us, that there's a heaven, that there's a hell, that there's a God we have to meet. All these things, my hearers, become realities when God opens a sinner's eyes. May I ask you a question? How many young people that are listening to me have had their eyes open? Has God performed this wonder? Have you been given to see yourself as a lost, as a condemned, and as a guilty sinner in the sight of God? Oh, what a blessing, my heavens. Not only does God open our eyes to see ourselves, but he opens our eyes to see that there is mercy, that there is pardon, that there is forgiveness, for the greatest of sinners in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, if you get such a sight, how comforting this is, my hearers. How encouraging for a poor creature who deserves eternal wrath, eternal punishment, to be given a sight. As this young man saw, he saw this host of heaven round about Elisha. So you are given to see by precious feet that there is yet for such a creature like you hope, expectation. Oh, sometimes it pleases God to open the sinner's eyes to see that God is on his side. You ever have that? You ever believe that God was for you and not against you? Oh, sometimes we think God is against us. It's the contrary that we always see. We can't believe that God is for us. Oh, we think this God is a God of anger. He's a God of wrath, and we deserve it. But oh, then sometimes he gives us to see that he is not against us. This God is our God forever and ever. Oh, what a mercy if you have something like that applied to you. And you can believe that God is your God, that he's leading you, that he's guiding you through this world here below. Oh, that he is your protector, your refuge, your strength. Oh, I hope that God may give you such a sight, my heroes. And now we find that this host came into the city of Samaria to take Elisha prisoner. And Elisha prayed unto God and said, Lord, smite these men with blindness. Marvelous, isn't it? One prayer, open the eyes of the young man. Another prayer, smite these men with blindness. And immediately God smote these people with blindness. Oh, what an awful judgment, my hearers, to be smitten with blindness. You ever see a blind person? He's an object of pity, isn't he? Poor creature, he has to be led by the hand. He can't see nothing. He's just staring into space. He sees nothing but darkness. What an awful thing to be smitten with that terrible stroke of blindness. And my hearers, I think it's more terrible, a greater judgment yet than when God smites people with spiritual blindness. Oh, how many are being blinded by the God of this world. How many are being blinded in a religious sense? Oh, how many false teachers, how many leading people into a ditch into which they themselves shall fall? Oh, when God leaves people over to themselves and leaves leaders over to themselves, and they are being blinded and they lead the blind, then they both fall in the ditch. These men, this host, this great army, was smitten with blindness. And now Elisha, he said to them, this isn't the place. Come, he says, I will lead you to the place where he is, meaning himself. And he took this great host, and he led them unto the capital of the land of Israel, where the king dwelt. And when they came into this city, he prayed again, Lord, open their eyes. And their eyes were opened, and they seen they were in the midst of the Israelites. Oh, you can imagine what they thought. That's the end of us. And the king, when he seen the host that Elisha had brought into the city, he says, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? What, says Elisha? Smite them that you didn't take with your sword? No, he says. Bring food and bring drink out and feed them and give them a meal. They weren't to be smitten. They weren't to be killed. How different was this prophet than the king? I think if Elisha had said, smite them, the king would have smitten them all. But Elisha was as type of our Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful type he is, my hearers, of him at this present time. Instead of smiting the people, we find that he spake that they should treat the people good, that they should feed them and encourage them, and send them back to their master. This is what took place with this great host. And we read that after this, the bands of the Syrians did not come into the land of Israel anymore, because they had been treated in this manner by Elisha and by the people in Israel. The Lord bless the few things that have been presented to you this afternoon. Our time is gone. Next week we will pick up the story from this point again. That's all for today.